Hello, and welcome. We're glad you decided to join us today by downloading and listening to this week's featured message. We pray that you allow God to use this week's message to teach and inspire you while you listen.
Sacred book and I'm asking you to push aside all distractions that the word of God may not return void today. Thank you, sweet Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. My subject today, refusing to enter his rest. Refusing to enter his rest. Let us begin by looking at my passage on the screen. If you have a New International Version of the Bible, it would be helpful to turn to that now. But because many may not, I have put it on the screen for us to read together. If you're visiting today, this is my 8th sermon on the subject of the Bible Sabbath. I had intended it to be my final sermon, but the Lord has ruled differently. So there will be 2 more sermons. Hebrews 4. And if you have another version of the Bible, just read along silently. I need you to read with me. Now, we're going to take our time. It's 14 minutes after 1. I could care less. If you have an agenda, there are doors all around for you to slip out. Let's read. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. Now, every word in this passage is important. Let's begin again. Therefore, since the promise of entering whose rest?
His rest
still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found doing what? Next verse. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. Now, we're going to find out who they is. But he's saying, we now, and this is Hebrews, he's writing to Christians, have had the gospel preached to us. So the implication is that whoever else they is, they've also had the gospel preached to them. But, come on, the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith, hearing the word of God without combining it with faith is useless. In fact, I'll go further. Practicing the word of God without combining it with faith is useless because the Pharisees practiced the word of God way better than any of us ever had. They were detailed, but they had no faith, so it was of no value. We're continuing. Verse 3, read. Now we who have believed enter that rest. See that? Notice that word rest. It's big. Just as God said, you're still reading, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. There's that they again. We're going to find out who they is. But somebody that's concerned about in this passage didn't enter the rest. Keep going. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. That is, the rest being discussed has been in existence since the beginning of the earth. Mankind has had plenty of time to get on board with the rest. Oh, shoot. So we're talking about some, whatever the rest is, Max, it's been around a long time. Ain't no new rest, it's an old rest. And God is restless that we have not gotten into His rest. That wasn't in the notes, but it sounded good. Let's keep going. Come on. For somewhere He has spoken. Now for the first time, the term rest has been defined. Now, put the text back up there, y'all. The rest being spoken of is what day? That's the rest. We're talking about the seventh day rest. Read again. For somewhere He has spoken of the in these words. And on the seventh day God. So the rest being talked about is the seventh day rest. And somewhere somebody refused to enter the rest, even though the seventh day rest has been around since the beginning of time. How do we know that? Because you're turning with me to Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Don't look at me. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. The rest has been there since the beginning of time. And he's saying it's been there, but folk are refusing to enter into the rest. Do you have Genesis? Second chapter? Verse 1, let's read. Come on. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the... What did God do? No. See, enjoy the word. What did God do? Rested. See, just stay there. Rested. See? Yeah. Go on. The day from all his work, which he did what? And made. Keep going. Verse 3. Wait a minute. The rest is blessed. It's a blessed rest. And then what else did he do to the rest? It's a sanctified rest. Not just any rest, but a blessed rest. And that's right, sis, a sanctified rest. This seventh day rest has got some stuff in it. Now notice the sanctification and the blessing is where? In the day. You don't do anything to sanctify it. You don't do anything to bless it. If you act like a monkey all seventh day, it's still sanctified and blessed because God did it. I think I'm enjoying this all by myself. God did it. So this is a mighty, mighty serious rest. Go back to the Hebrews. Hebrews. All right. That's the first page. That's me. I'm preaching. Yeah, go ahead. Next thing. Okay, here we go. Oh, good. Okay, now, verse 5, read, come on. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall, now look here, Fordham, here's the rest, sanctified rest, here's the rest, blessed rest, here's the rest, there, since the beginning, Warren, but he said, there are people refusing to enter the rest. Gave them rest. Made the earth in 6 days, my brother. Made it himself. Spoke it. Commanded it. It was done. Got done. Celebrated. Rested. Gave it to him. And some refuse to enter whose rest? God's rest. Verse 6. It still remains. Come on. It still remains that some will. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their... Whoever this first group was, Phyllis, Hebrews is very disturbed. He's referring to them. Didn't enter. I'm going to tell you who they are in a minute. Didn't enter. But the text says it still remains that some will do what? Clement, I got news for you. somebody, they didn't, somebody, some don't, but somebody will enter the rest. Somebody's going to rest. On whose rest? God's rest. Let's keep reading. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Verse 7. Well, go to 8. Yeah. See, I didn't give him verse 7 and I forgot. Okay. Come on, y'all. I'm 66 years old. I'm doing pretty good, don't you think? Yeah. Come on, let's read. Come on. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not... Verse 9. Yeah, if another day had been given, somebody would have mentioned it. But since another day has not been mentioned, then that rest from the beginning, seventh day, blessed and sanctified, still remains. I just read it. Let's keep going. Verse 10. For anyone... Just think. Tammy, when you get into this rest, you're joining God. Because whose rest is it?
God.
Resting with God. Verse 11. Let us... So that none will fall by... We won't read the other two verses. Let us therefore make every what? To do what? Now the implication here, Keith Bramble, is that getting into the rest is not easy. What do you have to make? Effort. Effort, y'all. This rest don't just come. You got to reach out, grab it. Hang on to it. Claim it. Don't let anybody take your rest. Now, we've been talking about this Sabbath thing. Started off talking about last day events. Now, that's what the Lord has moved upon me to preach. I got to preach two more sermons dealing with last day events and the Sabbath. You know I'm going to follow the Lord's direction, don't you? Because you see, this issue, get ready for that statement from the 19th century writer, this issue of the seventh day Sabbath and people trying to monkey with God's Sabbath goes way back. Read what that sister wrote way back there in the 19th century. No, we done. Here we go. Yeah. She sure wrote, I have been burdened in regard to movements that are now in progress for the enforcement of what kind of observance? Now, notice the issue is for enforcement. In other words, if somebody wants to choose to keep the first day, that's up to them. But the concern is folks trying to force people. Let's keep going. Plans of serious import to the people of God. I'll read. Plans of serious import to the people of God are advancing in an underhand manner. Among the clergymen of various denominations, and the object of this, I was sent an email just this week. 33 congressmen have signed up for a law to enforce Sunday keeping in this country. I'm not making this stuff up here. Yeah. God are advancing in an underhanded manner among the clergymen of various denominations, and the object of this secret maneuvering is to win popular favor for the enforcement of Sunday sacredness. Now take your mind back to sermon number 3. I taught you in sermon number 3 that every state in this union but 2 already has Sunday enforcement laws. They're on the books. They've never been abrogated or revoked. They're there. They choose not to enforce them. So don't act all surprised. This is nothing new here. But way back in the 19th century, the sisters saying, look, that was written in 1899. They were working that in 1899. If the people can be led to favor a Sunday law, then the clergy intend to exert the She's writing in 1899, exert their influence to obtain a religious amendment to the Constitution. That's what these 33 congressmen have signed up for. They want an amendment to the Constitution making Sunday a national day of rest. But I just found out God's already got a rest, which He Himself created at the beginning. And He says, my problem is, folks won't get in it. Here she says, retain a religious amendment to the Constitution and compel the nation to keep Sunday. Don't sit here today and think this is far-fetched. Most of you don't even know the law. You don't know that you live in states where laws could be enforced forcing you not to do certain things in Virginia. The laws are on the books right now. See, what I like about God, I told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. Anytime force gets in it, God's not in it. That's the devil. God declares, whosoever will, let him come. He says, I offer the rest. Some are choosing not to enter the rest. It's just out there for you. If you want rest, I got some for you. If you don't want any, it's up to you. That's why your pastor keeps telling you, anybody who winds up in hell chose to go there. Yeah. So, we've dealt with keeping the Sabbath holy. We've dealt with the Sabbath in the New Testament. We've dealt with difficult passages in the New Testament people try to use to do away with the seventh-day Sabbath. We talked about the sermon on the Sabbath and the law. We dealt with the issue that if you're going to do away with the seventh-day Sabbath, you have to change the Ten Commandments. Because the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to do what? So you can't just say, well, it's not necessary. Well, you mean it's not necessary. It's in the law. Are you saying the Ten Commandments are not necessary? Or are you just going to choose one that you don't like and say it's not necessary when James 2:10 says, if you break one, you're guilty of all? See, this thing gets complicated. See, God, I love this group here. This is my choir. Can y'all sing? See, God was smart, choir. He was smart. He saw the finaglings of the minds of men, and He outthought us. I'm going to pick my own rest. I'm going to put a blessing and a sanctification in it so that no matter how they treat it, it's just good anyhow. And all the rest of the days, I'm going to work. So you know how I feel about them days. But you know how I feel about my day. And you notice Hebrews keeps calling it whose rest? His rest. Sabbath belongs to God. Woo, have mercy. And then remember, we preached a sermon on who changed the Sabbath. Remember that? See, folk kept writing me these sermons are going all over the place. So folk have been emailing me saying, well, then how did we get wrapped up in the first day? Well, let me remind you. Put it up there. Let me remind you. How it happened. Yeah, here's how it happened. Read. Come on, read. It pleased the church of God that the religious celebration of the Sabbath day should be transferred to the Lord's day. This is from the Catechism. The Catechism of the Council of Trent. By order of Pope Pius V. That's how it got changed. Let's read another statement. This is all history, folks. This is history. It's common stuff. Come on. The Catholic Church, by virtue of a divine mission, changed the day from... Who wrote that? So I'm making no accusations. See, Daniel 7:25 said somebody would think to change times and laws. Well, One group steps up and says, we did it. We did it. They're not ashamed. They're not ashamed. They believe they had the power to do it. Next statement, next statement, next statement. Yeah, here we go. Read. Is Saturday the seventh day according to the Bible and the Ten Commandments? I answer yes. Who's writing this? Cardinal Gibbons. A prelate in the Catholic Church. Second question. Read. Is Sunday the first day of the week, and did the church change the seventh day Saturday for Sunday the first day? I answer what?
Yes.
Third question. Did Christ change the day? I answer?
No.
We make no accusations. Folk claim it themselves. So the prediction has been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled. The creation, therefore, of the Sunday, the first day of the week, is a human act. Whose act?
Human.
Not an act of God. Not an act of Christ on earth. Nor is it something started by the apostles after Christ's death. It's just, and I'm not talking to you now, I'm talking to the folk who are watching these tapes and sending me emails. It's just not in the Bible. It's just not in the Bible. And then I dealt with the issue, because some believe that the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross. Remember we talked about that? And we found out something was nailed to the cross. It was the system of sacrifices and feast days, which pointed forward to the coming of Christ the first time. But not God's holy Ten Commandment law. Why would you nail to the cross a law that says, no gods before me, no graven images, don't take my name in? Why would you nail, honor your folks, don't kill? Why would you nail that to the cross? And you can't just yank out one commandment and say he nailed that one to the cross. That's not logical. You see the problem we have? Well, I agree with those who say, you're not saved by keeping a day. Amen. I agree. You're saved by doing what God says. And I've told you in preaching about this. See, Brother Butler, I keep telling Brother Butler, glad you're here today, Brother Butler. I keep telling him all the time that the day is no big deal with me. If God had said Monday, I'd be here on Monday, y'all. The issue is doing what God says.
Yeah.
He picked the day. Right. See, the thing is, Steve, when he picked the day, he didn't ask my opinion. See, that's the issue. He didn't ask, the 7 days of the Sabbath, right? How do you feel about that? He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Finish it with me. But the seventh day, that's God talking. And he didn't finish. When he got done with the commandment, he said, now, if that works out of it, if it's convenient for your job, it's not in the, is it in the commandment? The Ten Commandments are not a series of suggestions. Thou shalt not kill when you're not upset. Thou shalt not kill. Period. Upset or not? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Makes no difference how you feel. God is talking from Sinai and is revealing his holy and unblemished character. And he say, that's how my people act. But you're not saved by keeping a day. You see, the day must be more than a date on the calendar. Remember we played a bit of T.D. Jakes' sermon a few months ago? Now, so Jakes was right about that. Now, most of his sermon wasn't biblical, but he was right on that. It's not just a date on the calendar. The Sabbath represents an experience. See, if you're just showing up in church on the seventh day and being holy, you are wasting your time. See, some folk in dealing with the Sabbath, when do they say, well, you ought to live holy every day? Well, of course. That's not a point. Yes. You can worship any day. Well, everybody knows that. I'm worshiping the bathroom on Monday evening. That's not a point. The point is, God said the Sabbath, the seventh day, is holy. You can't keep every day holy. Because he says the first thing you do in keeping it holy is do what God did. He rested, didn't work. If he didn't work any day, God's got good sense. Ain't nobody going to hire you, you holy, every day. Take your holy self on back home and be holy. Starve to death. God's got good sense. You can only keep one day holy. Stop working. Rest. Come aside. Have yourself a break from that foolishness on this planet. I don't know where you live. The one I live on is crazy as a bed bug. Now, I'm not going to keep you a lot longer, but I'm going to preach everything on these sheets of paper. And then I'm going to stick in some stuff that ain't on these sheets of paper. Yes, sirree. Now, let's change gears. Physical and emotional rest have become one of the most difficult things to achieve in the wake of this modern stretched out lifestyle. Do you agree with that? Especially in the Western Hemisphere. I look at y'all right now, you look pretty good, got the right stuff on. Pray God you sprayed something on so you smell all right. We hide it, you know, we hide it. But some of you all are sitting here today just as stressed out as you can be. Have no idea how you're going to pay the rent next month. The car payment is far from you as the east is from the west. Can I get a witness in this place? Got on that suit from wherever. Got a credit card bill coming in, you ain't going to be able to pay nothing. You're grateful they don't repossess suits. I'm just talking to you now. This is practical stuff. You're stressed out. You're laid out. Doctor done told you got all kind of maladies down inside of you. You know, it's funny how priority is. When that doctor told me I had cancer, you know, all of a sudden nothing meant anything to me. I didn't care what color my shoes were. I don't care what the tie matched the suit. Got cancer, doc. And you got all kinds of things on you. Some of you are not getting along with the people you live with. Now, keep your eyes straight now, because you may be sitting next to them, but it's not right. God knows it's not right. You're not happy with them. They're not happy with you. And you've told each other. Now, you know, that can be a stress reliever, you know. And just tell them. Now, make sure that you got some food to eat before you tell them, but you just tell them. Go on and get off your chest. See, I'm trying to relax you now. I'm trying to relax. Because we're stressed out. I'm reading the stats. 54% of humans have had or experienced some form of sleep disorder. We can't get a good night's rest. And in Western society, now get this, Kelly, they have identified, my brother, 70. Hope you ain't got one of them. 70 different sleep disorders. Somebody just leaned over and said, which one you got? 70. Now, that's what modern, I'm going somewhere with this, Doug. That's what modern society has done to us. We count our sleep disorders. We got doctors. We pay to count. So we come in and say, you got number 16, my brother. Isn't that something? That's what society has come to. We count our sleep. When I read that, I said, now, who in the world took the time to count somebody's sleep disorders? Just come on in. I can't sleep. I don't care which number it is. What you got for me, doc? It's ridiculous. 40 million Americans have some sleep disorder. And the major cause of sleep or rest disorders are aging. See, I'm 66. You got to excuse me. Aging. Alcohol. I ain't got to yet, but I'm coming to you now. Caffeine. Mm-hmm. Diet. Particularly them late meals. Yeah, late meals. Some of you nod, you know I'm telling the truth. Genetics, born with it. Hormones, bouncing all over your body. Illness, irregular work hours. Some of us have bosses that will call us at any time. Need you as soon as the sun sets. I hope that's what they say. Medications, and last but not least, the growing and most popular cause, Leela, of sleep disorder, stress. You get in the bed at night and you just can't turn it loose. Can I get a witness? Huh? Can I get a witness? Go on, raise your hand. Go on, raise your hand. Get it on out. Yeah. Just can't. You try and you toss and you turn. You cannot. Now, what are the top issues that cause stress? Stay with me. Rushed and hectic schedule. Concerns over children. And you know, see, the thing about it is, I thought, you know, that once they got groomed, nobody told me, Meshach. And you sitting there grinning, and some of you are causing your parents stress, and you 45 years old. Don't be sitting there grinning at me. Your 80-year-old mother's on her knees right now, Lord, save my child. Concerns over children, financial problems. In fact, financial problems are becoming almost number one. Folks are stressed out mostly over money. But you can't do anything in Western society without it. No, I didn't know. See, I grew up in the country. I had no idea they charged people for water. I grew up, we had a hole in the ground, put a pump on top of it. Come on, Nelson, you live right down the road from me, and you pumped your water. I moved, got the mess, moved to the city, got a water bill. Water bill? What's a water bill? What in the world is a water bill? Nothing is free. Health concerns, relationship troubles. Some of us have not learned anything about people or ourselves. And we keep getting into the same kind of situation with the same kind of person dressed up in a different suit. Traffic congestion. And you notice the devil works on Sabbath morning. See, my wife knows. I get in the car, I come to see, and didn't I call you this morning? Said, sweetie, stay off of 295. Some idiot has got two lanes blocked off. Painting lanes on Saturday morning. The person should have got their work done on Friday. I'm just trying to get you to calm down. So I'm purposely I just want you to relax, just kind of smile, because we refuse to enter the rest. What I'm doing now, I'm building a foundation as to why See, the devil knows the rest has been offered. So he works to see that you never enter into it. And so you come in here on Sabbath morning, his rest, offered to you free of charge. But you're so uptight from all these things I listed. Can I get a witness in this place? You can hardly, maybe by the time Pastor Wright gets up, maybe you've calmed down enough, maybe to get 5 minutes of the sermon and get your mind off your stuff. Sometimes church is over. Finally you calm down. And by the time you calm down, you've got to go back out there again. The rest wasn't just about physical. When God rested, was he tired? And when he gave it to Adam and Eve, they were made on the sixth day. Seventh day was the Sabbath. So they'd done nothing to get tired. So the initial Sabbath was not about fatigue. The rest was about connection with God. Can I get a witness? And so I'm saying to you, precious Sabbath keepers, many of you here are Sabbath keepers. The seven-day Sabbath, you believe in it. But you still may not be a Sabbath keeper because you've never experienced the spiritual rest. You're hung up on a date on the calendar. You know it's the day you're supposed to be in church, but that connection you don't have because you drag into this place things that get between you and your God. After Genesis 2, Eric, the Sabbath is not mentioned again until Exodus 16. I find that interesting. And when it is mentioned again, it's to a bunch of freed slaves, the children of Abraham, who have been through an extremely stressful time in their existence. They have been uprooted from a place that was their home for four centuries. Yes, they were oppressed slaves in Egypt, but lodging and food were sure. It was all they knew. Listen to me. The second entering of the Sabbath into man's life after Genesis 2 is to a bunch of people in a stressful situation. Their leader in their deliverance was Moses. He came out of nowhere. The last time they heard of him, he was a fugitive from the law. And though their deliverance from Egypt was accompanied by some fantastic acts, those events were traumatic. Boils, flies, frogs, darkness, hail that burned. And who could forget the cry of the Egyptians late at night? Because all their firstborn children were dead. All around them was death, disease, and waste and fear. And then there was that Red Sea stuff. You think that wasn't traumatic? Egyptians behind, mountains here, desert there, water there, cleared away, dried land, walking through walls of water. Will they hold? Will they hold? Or shall we be swept away? Though God protect them with a cloud by day and a fiery cloud at night, they were in a place. There were no houses, no fields, no water, no grain, no grazing. And in the midst of this, God gives them the Sabbath. Go to Exodus 16. I want you to see this Sabbath thing today, folk, like you've never seen it before. In the midst of all this, God in Exodus 16, first time the Sabbath is mentioned again since Genesis 2, God gives these freed slaves, and you're going to find out these are the they being talked about, Carol, in Hebrews 4. These are the they who refuse Larry Marable to enter in. These look at it. Stop talking to me, right? Read the word. Exodus 16. Look at verse 22. Hurry. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, what day? They gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Verse 23, everybody's reading with me, come on. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the... No, notice the words. Tomorrow is the what? Not just the Sabbath. Warren. But what? The rest. The rest. I'm sorry, I'm the only one excited. It's the rest. See, he never mentions the Sabbath without the rest. There's the Sabbath, Glenn, and then there's the rest. There's the Sabbath and the rest is in it. You might go to church on the Sabbath, but you could miss the rest. Glory, hallelujah. Not just the Sabbath, but the rest in the Sabbath. Tomorrow's rest for your weary bones. Rest for your scared heart. Rest for your insecure emotions. Rest out here in the desert wilderness. I got a rest for you. What happened? Verse 25, read. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a... Keep reading. Now, he's going to teach them about the week and the Sabbath with manna. 6 days it rained down. Remember that? What happened on the seventh day? So God is keeping the calendar. He said, now, don't you go out on the seventh day. Ain't going to be no manna. Now, God wouldn't talk like that. There shall not be manna on the Sabbath day. And those hard-headed people, look. Verse 27. Read. And it came to pass, they went out some. Thank God it didn't say all. Because Hebrew said some will enter. Hallelujah! Some will enter. But some went out. What did they do? And they did what? Now, verse 28. Now we know who the they are, Larry. Here they are. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long? And my laws. And my laws. How long refuse you to enter? I don't want you gathering and sweating and working and worrying about food on the Sabbath. I want you to rest. Mama, stay away from the stove. Rest. Put the sweeper in the closet. Rest. Take your lawnmower and tie it up. Don't cut on the Sabbath. Rest. It's time for rest. You done worked and sweated for the man. Now get some rest. The old man calls up on Sabbath, tied up with Jesus. Amen. Now you owe him, you know you owe him. Tied up! You got one day you can tell him you ain't lying. See, the other days you're lying. You know you got the money, you ain't going to pay it. But on Sabbath you say, I can't. Today is God's day. See you on Tuesday. Maybe Thursday. Maybe a week from Thursday. But on the Sabbath, I got to rest. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm giving it to you. Handing it to you. How long refuse you to accept the greatest blessing I've ever given mankind? Rest from this crazy world. Come here dragging that foolishness in here. That's why we tell you on the Sabbath, turn off that TV. CNN. Drive you crazy. Murders and rapes. Bombs and confusion. Stock market fell. Your little stocks ain't worth a penny now. Just turn that stuff off. You ain't got no money in the bank. He said, your bread and water shall be sure. Rest on it. Even your retirement ain't sure. Somebody just had a patter in their heart. It ain't sure. Are you listening to the pastor? So here they are. Some refuse to enter. Well, let's finish up. And so the book of Hebrews addresses this thing, talks about it. There are three rests in Hebrews 4. How many? Jump down to page 6 on the notes. Page 6. The word used is katapusis for rest. Katapusis, say it. And the other word is katapau, say it. Now that word is interesting. Katapau is the word in the Bible for Sabbath. You know what it means? Oh, help me, Lord. It means to settle down. Come in here on the Sabbath and do what? Oh, come on, y'all, get into this thing. Come in here on the Sabbath and do what? Yeah, cool it, brother. Chill. Relax. Let it loose. Turn it away. It's God's time. Settle down. He's got it. He keeps the earth turning. He's got it. He can pay your bills himself. He's got it. He can help you get along with your wife. He's got it. Just settle down. When the praise team comes out, settle down. When the brother reads the invocation, settle down. When the prayer is prayed, settle down. When the special music is sung, relax. God's got it. Yes, sir. I ain't just keeping no day. I came in here to settle down. Amen. Come on, Bramble, let's just settle down. Don't you see? My man, my man, my man. At some time, you got to turn that thing over to God. Some of these stupid relationships. You know, some of us let ourselves get tied up with just genuine idiots. You know, I listen to some of these things, and I'm saying, when the folk, you know, they leave my office, I'm saying, what in the world? And you know, as a counselor, you have to be kind. You can't really say what's on your mind. Sometimes I want to say, what in the world were you thinking about getting tied up with somebody who's like that? But I can't say that. Let's pray that God will give you wisdom, strength and direction. Come see me in a week. And I'm saying, if you got any sense, you're going to come back next week all by yourself in this place. The stresses of this world keep us from thinking straight. And we're looking for band-aids, trying to find self-esteem and assurance in people. Nobody can give you what God paid for on the cross. He gave you value at Calvary. Stop trying to find in some relationship what God has already given you. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. Free at last. Turn that thing loose. Pick up somebody who's going somewhere, preferably to glory. Done told you. Ride around with somebody you got to pick up all the time. Don't get me started now. I'm trying to get back on this sermon, see, because I want to say something, but I can't get off on it, Derek. I'll bring it in maybe later in the year, but I got a word for you. Taking all your dates on the metro. Get a car, somebody. Get a car. Buy something with wheels. I couldn't get by it. I tried, Jacob. I tried. I couldn't let that thing alone, y'all. And all tied up. Well, he stopped calling. Thank God he stopped calling. Sister got 50 traumas in her life, brother. You need to take them traumas and give them to Jesus. There's somebody got their fingernails in your soul. You got to say something nice every day to make them feel good. Propping them up with your words. If Jesus hadn't propped them up, they ain't worth squat. All right, the subject is enter into his rest. Let me wrap this thing up now. So, and let's go to Hebrews 4 now. I'm going to move quick. Y'all ready? Going to tie this thing off. Mark, come on down. Going to tie it off now. Hebrews 4. You can see why I got to preach more sermons on the Sabbath. I ain't done with this thing yet. Ha! Yeah. Hebrews 4, verse 1. So, the rest remains. That's number one, verse 1. Number two, he speaks of the ancient Hebrews. These are the people who once had the gospel preached to them. Verse 3, the believers enter the rest, and the rest has been there from the beginning. Verse 4, Paul now clarifies that one of the rests, this katapuso, means to settle down, but it also means to be covered by God. It also means to arrive at the promise. Amen. See, there are three rests in Hebrews 4. And so God says, first of all, I want to give you the promised land. That's the rest. And then I want you to know you're chosen by me. Rest in that. And then last but not least, every Sabbath, come and rest. It's all there in that chapter 4. But in verse 5, God's people are stubborn. Verse 6, there remains and there is hope. Some will enter in. Verse 7, don't resist what God offers. Verse 8, simply refers to the promised land rest. Verse 9, the rest shifts back to the Sabbath. It remains. And verse 10 is the key. Verse 10, Hebrews 4 is the key. Go there. Hebrews 4, verse 10. Ready? Read. Come on. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. In other words, Cliff, when you accept God's rest, then you rest like God rests. See, God doesn't worry. And he wants to pass that on to you. He's got the whole world in his hands. Sylvia, when God climbs down inside of you, you don't have to worry about anything because God now gives you his peace. His peace. Verse 10 is key. And so, verse 11, due to the circumstances in which we live, it takes real effort to get the rest. You got to make up your mind when you get in here. You're going to rest, Carlson. Carlson's got a very important job. God wants you to cut loose from it on Friday. Put it away. He's working with the League of Cities. Bunch of folks all over the country. Drive a man crazy. But old Carlson comes in here. Look at him sitting with his wife. Got his arm around. He's resting. Come on. Get up, brother, rest. Hey, to rest. He's found rest. Let that League of Cities run themselves on Sabbath. But they all go bankrupt. Carlson has put his treasure in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. You got to find out who you are and stay there. And so verse 12, which we'd like to quote out of context, God's word is like a sword. It's really talking about God's word leads you to the rest. There's peace in this book. And finally, in verse 13, God knows those who are in the rest, and those who are not in the rest. Are you refusing to enter into his rest? Bills, children, relationships, disappointments, accidents, bad news, entertainments, bad weather, troubled cars, bad bosses, undermining co-workers, mental fatigue, illness, world disorder, financial instability. He's got it. I said, God's got it. God's got it. He's offering you rest. Now get on in there. Enjoy the rest.
Treasure I have in this wonderful peace.
Yes, Lord.
Buried deep in my innermost soul. So secure that no power can. can take it away. While the years of eternity roll, weary soul without gladness,
yes, sir,
or comfort or rest, passing down the rough pathway of time. Make the Savior your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Please accept His peace so sublime. Peace, peace.
Come on, sing.
Peace, wonderful peace.
Yes, sir, Jesus.
Flowing down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In the fathomless billows of love. Peace, peace, wonderful
on.
Peace, wonderful peace.
Let it flow out.
Coming down, from the Father above.
Sweep over.
Sweep over my spirit. Forever I pray. In the phantomless billows of love.
I think there's another verse, isn't there? Just hold. Just wait. Just wait. This was a good sermon. Lord got a hold of me today. I just couldn't turn that thing loose. Because my brother, at peace means everything to me. Nadine, the world can be rough sometimes. Things don't go like you prayed, sweetie. And we come to church on Sabbath in Meshach, where we're carrying a wagon load of stuff, human stuff. Come on, somebody. And God said, if you just get to me, I got some peace for you. First is the peace of knowing that others also need peace. You walk in here and there's Sister So-and-so, you saw her last Sabbath. There's Brother So-and-so, you saw him last Sabbath. And you both know when you look each other in the eye, you both came looking for peace. And you're going to find it here. But the devil didn't like God's plan for peace. He came up with a substitute. But God was specific. He spake on this wise about the seventh day. Is peace. And I've taught you in this church for years that for every real thing God has, the devil has a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit peace. Many sincere people now. We've made it clear in these Sabbath sermons, we're not knocking those who sincerely believe that the first day is the Sabbath. It isn't according to the Bible, but some really believe that. What we're saying is we must call them to God's full peace. And so all over the world, people have been responding to these sermons. They're discovering the peace. Well, we found in the Bible that God winks at those that don't know. Acts 17 and verse 31. If you don't know, God winks, but calls now every man to repentance. And so to my friends who are watching me and will be watching me, I invite you to accept God's holy seventh day Sabbath rest. Enter in. Let me hear from you this week. Email me, write me. I'll pray with you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You're praying with the pastor now. Robin, I want that last verse.
Weary soul without gladness.
Come on now.
Or comfort or rest. Mm-hmm. passing down the rough pathway of time. Make the Savior your friend.
Hallelujah.
Ever shadows grow dark. Please accept His peace so sublime.
Now sing that chorus with the saints, everybody now.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Just the pianist now. Somebody today maybe would like to receive God's peace, the assurance that He's chosen you, the promise of a land where we'll never grow old. And in coming forward, you want to take your stand on God's seventh-day Sabbath. You may already be a believer, a Christian, but this truth is not a part of your life. You recognize you must be where you can observe what God says. You'd like to come today. I'm opening the doors of the church for you to make a decision to come by letter, to come bringing yourself, to make a fresh start, whatever you need.
If you have any questions about the message or would like to contact us with any prayer requests, please use the prayer request tool at the top of the page. We invite you to share this message with someone else and check back next week for another message. Thank you for visiting with us. We pray that you experience the presence of God always with you.